SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick. SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Bally's, Las Vegas, and I apologize for missing the opening, but we had a little confusion here on the headset. I'm still not happy. A number of things going on here that we've got to bring you up to date on immediately, and that includes cancellation in New York. Naira, with the high winds in the city, took off fairly early, which is a positive in terms of getting the players an opportunity here to on opening day of NHC, an opportunity to make their adjustments. In addition, at Gulfstream, a rainstorm, and in fact a second wave now, according to Mike Welch, has come through and has
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Bally's Las Vegas, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And inching closer to the start of the National Horse Players Championship, the players streaming in to Las Vegas, except it seems if you're coming from certain areas of the country, including Albany, from what we understand, some delays and some missed connections and some people that are going to get here a little bit later than they probably would have liked. And hopefully nobody was waylaid that was headed toward today's last chance. So, can I say safe travels? And I guess one of the lessons in this is not lessons, but one of the things that if people can get the extra day off or the extra 2 days off or even week off for those that
write their own schedule. I think that straightens it out, right? Yeah, I don't know. We left you yesterday at noon, and they still did quite a bit of they still did quite a bit of work around us, even though we were established. So sorry about the rough beginning. But a quick recap, a quick synopsis. New York is canceled, and as a result, no mandatory replacement. So the players get an extra elective race today. And we'll come to you later this afternoon, probably about usually between 2 and 2:30. And I would think, actually, based on looking at the schedule, I would say that 2 o'clock, and we'll set that in, 2 o'clock start on the website, on the stream, all right? The other news, and we'll talk to Mike Welch later in hour 3, Gulfstream got hit with thunderstorms already today, and the main track somehow went unprotected, unsealed, and as a result, you've got a likelihood of, well, the turf is, Mike thinks they're going to take the races off the turf. It's not, it hasn't been an announcement yet. But the main track, more importantly, and that includes two mandatories today, races 9 and 10. And, of course, by 9 and 10, they may, you know, that's what, 5 o'clock? They may have dried out by then, but it feels like they're going to start muddy at Gulfstream, and depends on how much more rain comes in, but they had the track wide open, and when the rain came, it came. So a couple of weather issues and the general kinds of things that jump in and players deal with Monday through Sunday. Nothing particularly unusual, except, you know, how important it is to the, you know, the 700 players here and their preparations for day one. And we'll get into all the format and everything else that happens as we wade into the action this afternoon. But 7 mandatories today, and so now there'll be 8 electives for the players. So 7 mandatories, 8 of the electives players will be able to choose from, you know, pretty much, you know, all the venues, the 8 tracks, Aqueduct, Laurel, Tampa, Gulfstream, Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, and Golden Gate. And, you know, one thing that I noticed, and I'll bring this up later with Pete and players that cycle through in conversation, the cancellations due to that gas line at Golden Gate and you know, by the track, that is going to be, and it has resulted in the cards at Golden Gate being, and the fields being much fuller than you typically see there. And there's a chance, I would say the good chance, that the players that like synthetic and are familiar, you know, the Woodbine, Arlington, Turfway, Presque Isle, Golden Gate players, they may gravitate to Golden Gate later today. 7 by 8 by 9 by 8 by 7 by 8 by 8 by 8 by 8. Those are nice fields for Golden Gate. And then tomorrow, you've got, particularly in the later action, 9, 9, 9, 9, earlier 6, 8, 6, 8, 6, 7. So in a funny way, some benefit to that situation with those weekend action being canceled. Just a little sidebar. Quite a few things to slip in here, and we're going to get out early on time so that we can get Hammer in right at 9:15. Hammer at Oaklawn, where it was in the 20s this morning. Hammer said he broke out the woolies, and we're going to have a good session with Hammer, because he's got the Equibase chart caller and note taker that has, you know, been at Oaklawn a number of years, and give some insights about how to approach Oaklawn. It's not a big steak weekend. Essentially, the King Cotton Saturday, the steak, and then, you know, kind of some nice, just some generic allowance races. Very good race tomorrow ahead of the King Cotton, a 12-horse allowance field, some maiden action, and more. So we'll catch up with Hammer on Oaklawn. Marty McGee is at Tampa. We'll talk to him about the Sam Davis card. And I'll say already, and I haven't seen what Marty's thoughts are, and what he, you know, what he handicapped and how he looked at the Davis. This is by no means a tap-in for Independence Hall. Not in the least. You know, we talked a little bit about it with Haskin yesterday. But not easy. And Storm the Court on Sunday, I'll mention, the San Vicente got drawn a course yesterday, and all the eyes were on Storm the Court. Baffert giving Nadal a chance. And, of course, we talked to him minutes after Nadal worked the other day. And obviously he's happy with what he got from the Blame Colt. He's also got Raad, who I happen to have seen break his maiden at Los Al. Raad makes his three-year-old debut in this race. Rafael Becerra, fast enough with an Eddington gelding. Ginobili, the Baltus, early Del Mar maiden breaker, fourth in the Futurity. And then he kind of stubbed his toe at the end of the year when he tried a turf sprint in the Speakeasy and was beaten as the favorite. He makes his three-year-old debut. So the San Vicente came up very, very intriguing. And Storm the Court will have to deal with Nadal. First start back as a three-year-old. Nick Tamerill, he'll go over the cross-country pick five, which includes the Wingfield, the King Cotton, and three of the races from three of the stakes from Tampa. Ed DeRosa, I haven't talked to Ed, but he's upstairs somewhere. He's in the building, so we'll get Ed in. And KK, Kevin Kirstein, Darren Rogers' right hand in the communications department at Churchill. KK playing in his first NHC. We'll have him here. And we'll get future wager conversation and the gate conversation, and then talk to KK about playing in the contest. And Mike Welch, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of surprise visitors. How about Doug O'Neill with four left yesterday with his string at Maidan? Wins the 2,000 guineas with four left yesterday and finished second in another stake, another race. Back to Vegas after this. We'll go out to Oaklawn, Rick Hammerly.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest.
and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Listos.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down in my mind. She runs throughout the night. No need to fight. Never a frown with Golden Brown.
We're back at the races. Back at Bally's Las Vegas. I'll be hard-pressed to go 4 days, or however many days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 6 days without mentioning, you know, saying back at Treasure Island. It's one of those, it's like writing, you know, 2019 on a check. Back here, and players are starting to filter in a little bit, and saw J.K., Jonathan Kinchin early. I forgot to mention, you know, Gus Alonso, who you love, of course, for years here, on the show, and the original house handicapper, and very much responsible for my getting involved in the show. Gus qualified for his first NHC, and Gus will have a live visit later as well, probably an hour or two. And he's got a playing partner to some degree, John Costin, who's a top handicapper in his own right. And they're down here. Roger Satina just cycling through. So guys are going to get situated early and get comfortable and get set for day one of the 2020 National Horse Players Championship. Down to Oaklawn we go, and Oaklawn certainly will be, you know, a prime target on players' cards. And the race today involved races 3 and 5. In fact, the first two mandatories of NHC will come at Oaklawn. Hammer, good morning.
From not the desert where you are. You mentioned earlier, I got to wear my parka today.
Nice.
First time. So, so it was in the 20s earlier this morning. It's creeping up into the mid-30s. And first time for the meet, we won't be training this morning. Try to get the track open for an hour or so later on in the morning. But some of the things we want to talk about with Jeff here. I got Jeff Taylor sitting next to me, and we'll throw him on in a little bit. But Jeff has been on this circuit since 1983, calling charge, taking charge, writing footnotes, all kinds of stuff. Wanted to get him on, actually kind of timely now with the contest when you mentioned a couple of mandatories right off the bat. But he can talk a little bit more, obviously, than I can on, you know, the changing track conditions, what that means for the runners, post position stuff. See a lot of things here that you don't see at a lot of places. Horses running back early or quickly, I should say. Some of them already coming back within 7 to 10 days and doing rather well. I've noticed myself a couple of riders here seem to get their places horses in better places than others, turning for home. If you watch the races in the last few days, you've seen, I'd say about the eighth pole, I start looking, because no matter what's going on in the front, somebody's coming right about the eighth pole on the outside. And so things like that, we'll let Jeff talk about and maybe give a few things to look at in the mandatories. But we've raced here 7 days, and we've had muddy track, we've had good tracks, we've had fast tracks. Things change here quickly weather-wise, and I tell you what, they jump on things quickly. Got a text this morning about 5 a.m. saying the track was going to not open on time, and you know what? People just adjust. There's no questioning the moves and what goes on here. It's just, okay, we'll train later. We'll do this. Going to be muddy today, no problem. So no excessive scratches when the track's off. Or not off, shall we say. Trainers and horsemen, they come here to run, and that's what they do. So it's I'm enjoying the flow of the action here and the attitude of pretty much everybody here. They really treat people well, and so you've seen a ton of close finishes. And just for yesterday, for example, the competitiveness of the races, we had, I think, I had 92 horses that had made a start, and 72 of those horses in their last start had finished fifth or better on the entire card for a Thursday card, which is pretty wild. I looked at some other tracks and wasn't even close to that. So even though the races are, there's a lot of claiming races going on here, and that's because of the dirt-only surface. Got to be a little creative coming up with races, but the races are competitive. There was the last race yesterday, once again, a lot of dollar bets going around the room who won that one. And there was a race earlier. So a lot of close races, a lot of dead heats. And so I thought it'd be good to get Jeff on. And one other quick thing. This is a claiming factory here. We've raced 7 days, had 55 horses claim for over $1.1 million in action. So they come here. Everybody comes here loaded, and they know they're going to lose horses. And they play the game and lose a couple, get a couple back. So very action-filled first 7 days. And so I wanted to get Jeff on, and I don't know if you guys have met. I know he knows about the show, but he's going to be the perfect guy to, describe some of the nuances of Oakland Park that I'm trying to get to know. So here's Jeff, Steve.
Thanks, Hammer.
Good morning, Steve.
Jeff, good morning and welcome. And how long have you been down in Hot Springs?
I was actually born and raised not far from here, Steve, a little town called Perryville, up the road about an hour or so.
Sure.
I started coming here when I was going to Arkansas Tech in the late 70s as a college student, and obviously fell in love with the game. Got my engineering degree, tried 9-to-5 for about 6 months, and the cry of the horses just got me back. And that was, I think, in the early 80s. My first gig was down at LAD, Louisiana Downs, for the Forum. That was in, the summer of 83 is when I started doing all this.
Were you? Did you overlap with John White down there?
No, he had actually left for the West Coast, but John was very well respected when I got there. Obviously, a terrific rider, great lines maker, and the Forum was unfortunate enough to lose him, years later. But John, like all of us, is just so passionately in love with this game, and it shows every day. His line is terrific, and he's just a fixture out there at the West Coast. Their gain out there was certainly the Midwestern's loss.
Well, and let's see. So you make at least the third guest of the week that had a Louisiana Downs tie because of Frank Miramati as well. Frank having called down there.
Yes, that's where I first met the Mir man. And that was, probably early 2000, something like that, 2005, 2006. Terrific guy, very colorful. I value him as a friend very much. I know he's been through some physical trials, as my wife has, battling her cancer, and we still stay in touch. We don't see as much of each other as we want to, but Frank's a terrific guy, great sense of humor, obviously, and a joy to be around.
Jeff, dive into Oaklawn, and we've had a lot of interesting conversations over the years, including with Randy Moss, who, of course, cut his teeth at Oaklawn and learned the game. And we've talked about the funky nature of the stretch, and then there's the nuance of the two finish lines. Talk about some of the most vexing and difficult aspects of Oaklawn for players to comprehend.
Well, I'm going to play contrarian here just a little bit. I'm not a big bias guy. I never have, and I know Randy has probably made a career, especially doing the buyer figs. They obviously come into play, and you have to think about the whole grand scheme of things. The biophysics just don't work for me a lot of times with biases. I think it's overthought to a large degree. Randy obviously will argue differs, Mr. Watchmaker and many others also, but I've usually considered, with some exceptions, and there are always exceptions, Steve, that Oaklawn is a surface-neutral track. I've never really thought it was an advantage to be one place or another. The inside, years ago, perhaps might have been the best place to be, but under the microscope that these track superintendents are under now, surfaces are obviously the first thing anybody wants to talk about. And, neutral is a good thing. It's what everybody strives for. They don't often get it. But here at Oaklawn, I think perhaps more than any other major racetrack, at least that I've been involved with, the surface itself is really a non-starter a lot of times. I think you need to look more at the dynamics that Hammer alluded to, the different converging forces here, if you will, from all over the country as far as bringing horse flesh in. You have to sort out the differing class levels. You talked about imaginative conditions. No one's more imaginative than riding conditions than Racing Secretary Pat Pope here, and that's another factor you have to consider in. But the racing surface itself is a couple of notches down some of what I feel are greater priorities when it comes to handicapping Oaklawn.
Then dive into the flow of the meet to some extent, because it is a place like a Keeneland, like a Saratoga, like Del Mar, where you have horsemen that have a real understanding of how that condition book is written and what to expect. And then on the front end, they'll have certain horses that they're going to have pointed and prepared for races that they expect are going to be offered in the first 2-3 weeks of the meet. And, that's something that we're very familiar with at boutique sessions. And Oaklawn, that would really fit the same kind of profile.
It is. It's a strong dynamic. Rick again mentioned the claiming angles here, very, very big. And it just seems like, I call them the big four, Deodoro, Asmussen, McKnight, and a very quiet Carl Broberg barn so far this meet. I'm waiting for them to wake up a little bit. But those big four outfits, they'll churn through 8-10 horses a week, it seems like, sometimes, the claim box. Multiple shakes, meaning many horsemen go in for the same horse in a claiming race. It's nothing to get 5 or 6, 7 claims a race. And that dynamic, obviously, is kind of at the forefront. I don't want to diminish the stakes program here in the upper level allowances, but the claiming game is what drives this game. It always has. And nothing is more dynamic than Oaklawn in that department. So it is a challenge. A lot of these trainers point toward this meet now. The money is just incredible, and it's only going to get better. And you've got some horsemen with horses that are sitting on a big race. You have to kind of roll the dice, not only if the race goes out of the condition book, meaning it gets enough entries. That's a foregone conclusion here early in the meet, but whether you get in. Rick is in the hole every day doing the assistant work here, and, it's grumbling all the time. There's 20, 25 entries, and obviously only 12 can go postward, so that's kind of a roll of the dice as well, whether or not you got a horse ready to go if the race goes. And then you have cancellations that have come into play here early in the meet. No, knock on wood, none so far this year. The weather's been wet, but at least it's been warm. So just a varying degree of factors. All these horsemen converging, as I mentioned. It's just a dynamic that's really, to be honest with you, quite intimidating, and can be intimidating if you're a handicapper. But it does make for some very, very interesting racing.
A couple of notes about the you mentioned the big four, and Carl Broberg, for those that haven't seen it and who don't follow his very fun and humorous Twitter feed. Broberg kind of finding a voice on Twitter and has really gained a following. He's playing in the NHC, as is Mike Denny. So, and there's other horsemen that are going to be here. One factor that I thought might play into this is the improved conditions at Turfway in terms of the purse structure, and it's Sam Houston as well, Jeff. And I'm wondering if there's some horses like Broberg may have, you know, kept in Texas, you know, coming out of the typical gravitation to Oaklawn. And then, of course, you got this big influx of West Coast trainers as well as, you know, some Eastern outfits. Nick Zito back. In fact, Nick won the Nightcap the other day. Let's see, Maya Engelhardt, I know, had that one win I saw. And Peter Miller, Sadler, Hollendorfer. How are you folding in these new outfits?
Well, Cali shippers have been kind of hit or miss. Some of them have run well, some of them have not. Again, I think a lot of those outfits are just kind of feeling their way around the differing class levels or whatever. But you do raise a good point, Steve, about Turfway being a better product this year. A lot of those Churchill outfits, instead of, you know, be backing out for here, our fairgrounds did keep some stuff up there over the winter. And I know it's synthetic and it's a different metric as far as handicapping those horses go, but the quality is better. Sam Houston, this is another thing that's kind of unfolded in the West. Texas horsemen finally got a legislative break last year. They freed up some purse money, and it showed. Houston has done very, very well. Their Ladies' Day, the big filly and mare race they had last week or the week before, drew, I think, the best field that it ever has, and their daily racing, their daily product is getting better, and that's, again, is all about money. And Broberg, you're right, does have a bigger presence down there. He has been so huge in South Louisiana, Lone Star, here to a degree last year, and maybe perhaps he did leave some stuff in Houston because the money is better.
Well, we should also talk about another horseman-related player, Doug Bradar, and another Louisiana Downs connection. Holy cow!
Former racing secretary at LAU, right?
Unbelievable! It's a big week, and I'll remind everybody tomorrow night, Louisiana Premier Racing at Delta, since we're showing Louisiana so much love. Talk about the connections, and you know, there's plenty of people that love jockey trainer angles, and you know, jocks jumping off, and there are some riders on a regular basis to me at Oaklawn that really showcase their ability, and you know, the De La Cruzes and the Mojicas and Ramon Vasquez and such that you know, you just players that concentrate on the Eastern Seaboard and on in the West, that they really don't see them so much other than during the Oaklawn meet.
Yeah, as you might expect, it's a very deep colony, and with all the horsemen involved and the money involved, we get seem like a new quality rider or two every season. This year, you've got Martin Garcia here, who I'm a big fan of. Fernando de la Cruz, actually was my neighbor out of the condo complex that I stay here in Hot Springs. He's off to a pretty good start. Good to have him in the room as well. It all starts, though, Steve, with Mr. Santana and the Asmussen connection.
Yeah.
You talk about a jockey-trainer combo that's just excelled here throughout the course of the last six, seven seasons. Ricardo just does such a fantastic job finishing. You put him on a horse three wide with something under him, and he's going to seem like find a way to pick that horse's head up and get him down there to the wire on top. He just wins so many races that way. You love to see him on a closer. But you could make a case in that room for 12, 15 quality riders that would be no surprise to get on a hot streak, and that's another handicap and angle you can kind of get on as far as getting hold of a hot rider or two. Santana and last year's champ Cohen on top now with eight wins apiece. But the Mojica, Orlando's having a terrific first fortnight, if you will. He's, I think, been on six or seven winners. You got Joe Talamo, who we've only touched upon briefly in from the West Coast. He's making an immediate impact here, and the list goes on and on. Joe Rocco, a journeyman that's been doing so well here throughout the years, he's in the top five or six now. So, yeah, jockeys, it's as competitive in that jocks room as it is out on the racetrack.
Some of the more I don't want to say obscure, but certainly from a breeding program, you know, the Arkansas bred races, and sometimes, you know, people are looking and they're seeing stallions that they're unfamiliar with, and bloodlines that are foreign. Talk a little bit about playing the Arky breds and what secrets in a multi-race sequence when an Arky bred race pops in.
It's kind of a unique situation. The Arkansas breds, I think last year there was only like 250 foals hit the ground. Very small numbers, but maybe what we make or lack in numbers, we make up in increasing quality because the money is so good. You get an Arkansas bred maiden in here running for $80,000, $85,000, that could make an entire small outfit's year winning one race and one race only. You're going to see a continued influx of some of the better mares. Steve, the money's just too good not to upgrade the breeding program. And Mr. Pope here, the racing secretary, does lean on those Arkansas breds early in the season. There's usually one or two races carded a day. And, no one's under the illusion that they're going to compete nationally, but they have their own little competition going in those restricted races. And, I usually look for an Al Cates. I call him Gentleman Al, the king of the Arkansas breds. He is dominated. He got hold of a couple of clients, and they were a little bit forward thinking. They got some nice mares. They got a couple of good seasons, just some studs that could certainly perform a little bit. And they kind of set the curve, if you will, a few years ago. But the rest of them are starting to catch up. And as you mentioned, it does start in that breeding shed, and the quality is definitely getting better here in the state.
Got to ask about a couple of trainers too that have gotten off to good meets. And I had mentioned last week our friend Dan Hart. One of his favorite angles early at Oaklawn is Ingrid Mason, and Ingrid's won I think three, and I think Aaron Shorter has won two or three races.
Yeah, both respected, and Ingrid finds some magic, as you mentioned. It seems early in the meet every year in recent years, and she comes in here ready to run. I think that's a credit to her barn and her outfit. They know what they need to do to get on the winner's circle, into the winner's circle early in the meeting. They have some horses that fit the conditions pretty well, and I think they probably come in expecting to win a few races because of that kind of pre-strategy, if you will, before the meeting ever begins.
I got to mention, Hammer and I talked briefly about the crazy situation of two dead heats for Wynn in within three races of each other last week, and the most important of the dead heats was definitely Hobby and Moquette. Because who's going to buy who lunch under this circumstance? There needs to be a rubber match.
Yeah, those two have been going at it for forever. Just another friendly backstretch rivalry.
Big time.
And it's just funny to almost to kind of see him banter back and forth. It's all in good fun, but competitive nonetheless. Ron is kind of, this meet kind of vaulted him into the national spotlight 10, 12 years ago. That's when he really started getting his feet under him. He's an Arkansas native. And loves Oaklawn as I do from when he was a very young man. And it's always good to see Ron do well. And Steve, of course, is without saying, one of the most respected and undersung, if you will, horsemen in the Midwest, and has been doing his job for years and years and years. And a ton of respect to both those guys.
Well, and of course, the third leg of that triad, Gon and Lynn Whiting, the three of them were a long time troika. You know, you say that Moquette is an Arkansas native. There's real contention about that, Jeff, because he literally was born on the Oklahoma border, and neither state really wants to claim him.
You know Ron as I do, so he's not going to be too insulted with that. He may feel like he's insulted, but Ron's a good guy, fun guy to be around. But that's
he's the greatest.
That's, Fort Smith up there, right on the border. I think he does kind of claim bi-citizenship, if you will, between the two states. But a good guy, and we'll see him and Whitmore out tomorrow. Good to see the old buddy back out there, and he's going to have his hands full with a pretty competitive group there. In the odds for the King Cotton, and it's a good race, shaping up well for him. And Whitmore's looked pretty good in the mornings a couple of times I've seen him out there on the racetrack, and good to see the old boy still in the game.
Well, and I was going to ask you about the King Cotton because it's part of the New York Cross Country Pick 5 and Whitmore's presence. Of course, Ron is sitting in the truck right now, you know, watching training and listening. So that the big shout out to our man Moquette, but. give us a King Cotton look, and we should talk about the two races today that start off the mandatories, races 3 and 5.
Yeah, let's touch on those first a little bit, Steve, if you will. I just happened to do the morning line for the third race today, one of the races that I do three a day. And you can see from my top four picks, I've got them anywhere from 3-1 to 9-2, Futile, the 1, the 2, Virga, the 5, Twin Farms, and the 6, He's No Bull. I kind of flip-flopped them several times just trying to actually land on a favorite, and the public may end up having to do the same thing. Pretty good value there. You got Amos with the dropper, the 5-horse Twin Farms. He's the big question mark. Been training pretty well, kind of typical Amos M.O., if you will. You don't know a whole lot about the horse because he hadn't been out since April. But the works look good. He's got some back class. Again, you always take a shot with Amos on the drop, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so much. You got, Norman McKnight, the 2-horse Virga. I call him the unknown factor with the dirt synthetic angle working. He's from Woodbine. Some of his horses never even have been on dirt before, so you don't know how they're going to run. But Norman's a pretty sharp dude. He's won a lot of races. He's another one of these trainers that kind of forethinks this racetrack, if you will, before things get started back in the fall. He puts together his stable of numbers, claims a few up there that he think has dirt potential when they do move to the Oaklawn surface off that Woodbine synthetic. Very competitive race. I really can't say definitively that I like one of those four more so than the other. Hence the very narrow odds range. But Cecil, you got him and Calvin teaming up on the 1-horse Futile, who pulled off a little bit of an upset last time, about 4-1. If I had to play in there, I'd probably land on that too if I get that 7-2, 4-1 price that I expect.
Excellent. All right. And the fifth.
Yeah, it's another challenging race, wide open, up and back. You know, you're just looking up and down this thing. You get O'Neill in here at 7-2, probably with one of the lukewarm favorites. I don't think 5-2 on the 3-horse to the Amato, another Cali invader, is any bargain at 5-2. I'd probably shop for a little better value elsewhere. You could maybe land on one of these double-digit, potentially priced horses. Beamy Award is kind of intriguing for me. John Cox off the claim. You've got Fernando de la Cruz, my neighbor, as I mentioned, who's off to a pretty good start with a couple of wins. 7 horse there at 10-1, I think probably would move me more than any of the other shorter price.
Excellent. Well, and the Beamy Awards presence, that'll elicit a big response around the room later when the race goes as the second of the day's mandatory contest. Let's talk about the King Cotton next.
Yeah, a challenging race. You've got the three old heavy hitters in there that I call very familiar faces, if you will, with the Wilbo, Whitmore, and Asmussen's Colt on the inside. I, however, think there's an outstanding value play in there with Triangle. Mr. Davis coming up from the fairgrounds, goes from 2 turns back to 1. Ran credibly in the Tenacious last time out to Pioneer Spirit. He came right back. Pioneer Spirit did and annexed a division of our fifth season stakes here on opening weekend. Lost Sailor, an Amos trainee, finished 3rd in that race that the Triangle finished 5th in. Came back and looked super impressive in his 2020 debut for Mr. Amos over the weekend. I think Triangle off of that race and the race before when he caught, the Wicked One, Bobby's Wicked One. Al Stahl's crack sprinter in the Thanksgiving Classic there, finished 2nd to him, chased him around there and finished a good solid 2nd, as I mentioned. He's arguably the best sprinter on the grounds down there at the fairgrounds is Bobby's Wicked One. So 2nd to that one, on top of that 5th place performance at the 2-turn Tenacious last time out, turning back to a sprint distance today. Not much pace in there. I think Triangle lays just off Amos or Asmussen's Colt from the inside. And Fire is a good one, and he's going to be, I think, every bit of that 12 or 15 to 1 that I put him on the morning line.
Wow, I like it. Tringale, the 8-horse King Cotton, and that'll make for a tricky, for a tricky ticket structure situation in that pick 5. We're going to talk later to Nick Tamara. Well, Jeff Taylor, this was a real pleasure, and we certainly. Won't hesitate to weave you in and some of the big days coming up, of course. Looking forward to the Southwest and the Rebel and the Arkansas Derby.
Hey, Steve, can we get one more race in? There's the eighth race on Sunday, which is a super money allowance race.
Yep.
Probably going to be one of the last races available to bet on for the contest. And it came up great. It's the Sunday's eighth race. A lot of stake horses, ex-stake horses in there, going a mile and 16th here. And I thought Jeff could give us a little look at that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's several in there. You got Laughing Fox, who won the Oakland Invitational, which earned
sure.
his birth into the Preakness last year. He's making his yearly debut in there. And it's just a good-looking field. I happen to do the line on this race again, and it's so much of a challenge being a line maker here. Trying to get a handle, I've laid so many tepid 7-2, 4-1 shots. That race is again, wide open. You're going to go 5-6 deep in there, I think, with horses that stand a legitimate chance. But as Rick said, it's a great way to kind of wrap up the contest there late Sunday afternoon. If you're looking for a shooter in there, maybe grab one of those 10 or 12-1 shots. It certainly stands a big chance.
Excellent. Well, and of course, Laughing Fox for the Lieblongs. Always happy to root as well for Alex and Joanne, and one of the leading citizens of Oaklawn and Arkansas, and the game in general. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Best of luck.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Hammer?
Yeah, there you go.
Addition? That was great. That was tremendous.
Yeah, so obviously we wanted to get some good information from local, and like you said, we'll get Jeff on when needed, when some situations come up. But no, I could sometimes in this game, we've never met, but I think about 2 seconds after we met, we knew, you know what?
We speak
the same languages, right. And we're lucky to always next to Nancy Foltis over here, and she gives her comments, and she had a lot of nods going on as Jeff was talking, so that I feel good about that. Nancy, anything you like in the next 3 days? Do you want to give the contest players?
I'm just keeping my head down and listening
to my name. Okay, she's doing good over there. She's saying everything's good, thumbs up. But anyway.
Tune in for the Paddock Show. She does a great job, and those insights are definitely worth taking some time and listening.
Yeah, so she's in here now she'll be working for 3 hours giving her comments. So it's she does a great job from the paddock. So listening to that is right what Jeff said. But anyway, we will be training soon and racing this afternoon, and good luck to everyone out there. Nick's on there. JT, you had yesterday somehow or another butt dialed me about 2 a.m. last night. And, it was pretty funny. You have phone rings in the middle of the night. I'm going, oh, great. Right? You turn over and I'm hazily saying, I think it's just Jonathan Kinchin. And I pick it up and he's going, oh, no. Sorry about that.
That's great. Hammer, quick question. Is Jeff on Twitter?
Are you a Twitter man?
No, I can say this. I certainly don't want to alienate anyone. I terminated my Twitter account on the eve of the inauguration in 2017, and that's all I'm saying about that.
Good for him. Jeff Taylor, everybody, and Nancy in the background, and Hammer. Hammer, get out there and get him training, and we'll talk next week.
All good. Good luck to everyone, and good luck to Nick, as you're going to have on later. So, anyway, enjoy the weekend. You make us jealous being spending the weekend in Vegas. That's usually about a day and a half longer than I set the timer when I go to Vegas. So you're a braver man. You're a braver man than me.
I got no choice. We're here, and the room's starting to get more and more activity. The players dotting the tables, and on the line coming to us from Tampa, the first of his two trips to Oldsmar, Marty McGee. Marty, good morning. Mart.
Okay. Where are you? Are you in Vegas?
We're in Vegas. We're at the Bally's in the reborn Bally's hosting of the NHC.
Nice. I'm in Oldsmar, as you said. I'm in actually in Rob O'Connor's apartment. I've been staying with Rob. He was a classmate of mine in St. X in Louisville.
And, how about that? You're America's guest.
America's guest, and he's a trainer. And there's another trainer named David Art Fisher. With no C. He's up in Ocala. He's been running quite a bit at Tampa and Gulfstream. He's a class of 1977 St. X graduate. And another trainer named Michael R. Thompson, otherwise known as Cowboy, he, too,
was a member of that same graduating class. So we did our part to contribute upstanding members to the horse racing community.
I love it. That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Well, we're looking forward, Mark, to the action at Tampa, and obviously the central focus. I mean, other than the Louisiana bred state card at Delta, the stakes that the way things came up between the Sam Davis and the Endeavor and the Suncoast and the Tampa Bay, a really good sequence. Before we get to it, I got to ask you for a quick hit on the future wager.
You know, I was thinking, Bick. We talk about this pretty much every time they come up. I found a way, finally. You know, you always ask me, do I bet on it? And I always say no. I bet in pool one, and here's what I did. I used the field atop five other horses in Exactus because, you know, by the time they get to Churchill, from late November till then, there's so much attrition that the field almost always wins. That's why they're like 4-5 or even money every time in pool one. And then I'm trying to get one of these five that I bet them in various increments to just run into money because oftentimes the one year that Ride on Curlin ran seventh in the Derby, he was the only horse left from pool one. So you had field with him, you hit the Exacta. So that's how I did it. Pool two, as we move along, we've got 10 new names from pool one into pool two. And if you did something similar, you might have a pretty good chance. As we get closer, obviously, you narrow it down in terms of the field not being able to win. But that's my way of trying to hit a lick on this thing.
I like it. Give us some thoughts about the new faces. And in fact, it seemed like there's some. I'm going to talk to Kevin Kirstein later because he's here playing in the contest. And I know he was part of the team that put the pool together. There seemed like there were some exclusions that were a little curious, some horses that might have been, also rans in recent preps in favor of some obscurities and some recent maiden types.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, Jay Pribman and I'm starting in on the Derby Watch. It will be Jay and I doing it this year.
Wow.
And we're trying to do the same thing, and we had a few differences in terms of our top 20, as opposed to what they had for their 23 in the pool two lineup at Churchill. So, you know, you're kind of splitting hairs after you get past the first, I don't know, dozen or 15 maybe that obviously belong, and that's reflected more or less in the morning line that they are in this thing. So we do have four of the horses who are in the 23 individually listed by Churchill, who are actually going to be in action this week, and those are the two horses here, Independence Hall, who's only 10-1 on the Churchill morning line. Obviously, if he threw in a stinker, he'd float way up. But if he runs big here tomorrow, then you had to think he might go a tick or two under that. And then also the Navarro horse, Premier Star, who's listed at 50-1 on the Derby Pool 2 morning line, but if he were to run big, as Navarro thinks he will, he'll go down from that. And then the other two you have are Nadal, who's a new face for Baffert, and the Breeders' Cup juvenile winner, Storm the Court. They're both running in the San Vicente. That is being run, however, Steve, at 6:30 Eastern Sunday, which will be about a half hour after the Pool 2 actually closes. So, but just know that those two are the only other ones that are actually in action this weekend.
Well, and yesterday I speculated, because I did not expect a six-horse field in that San Vicente, and I kind of thought that it would be run earlier on the card than it ends up being run. And as a result, people won't be able to get a read on Nadal and Storm the Court. And that is, that'll be an interesting wrinkle to how the prices shake out. Who on there do you think at a glance who caught your eye that might actually end up being value?
Well, the two of my bigger plays when I was talking about having played it for pool one, they're both back for pool two. That's Anno Dior and Gouverneur Morris. I'm really excited about Gouverneur Morris for Pletcher. They're both 30-1 on the morning line, and since neither one are in action this weekend, that's about what they'll close at, and you might want to tie them up in some perfectas, as my man Jack Salter used to call them.
Well, and the one that when I went through this on Wednesday, the one that really grabbed me immediately was Three Technique at 50-1, and you know, certainly is going to be, you know, third north of 30-1 when they close. But there's a horse that the way he finished, and that's Smarty Jones. I think you can project him as a horse that you know has some upside yet, and I think that number's out of whack.
Well said, like an upstate New York homer that you are, Bick. So yeah.
Now we'll talk more about the future wager with Kevin Kirstein in about an hour and change. Marty, let's turn our attention to this Tampa card because it is really good, and not just the Sam Davis. But let's start with the Sam Davis and work backwards. And I said to start the show, Independence Hall is not a tap-in here, no matter how you slice it, because there's just too many horses that are well within range, and there's also a pace scenario that's a little murky. This Premier Star you mentioned for Navarro, 2-for-2, and you know, he beat Caracaro, who came back to win on the Holy Bull undercard, and this horse is going to be loose on the lead from what I can see.
Yeah, a week or so ago, Steve, without knowing who was going to run in the race, I thought that maybe this might be one of those yawners where Independence Hall would be 1-5, and I wrote as much in my advance for the racing form, but you had Aja Weed that Kieran went ahead and committed him, the Curlin Colt for Shadwell and Kieran McLaughlin, well drawn on the rail. He's got to be considered the way he closed in the Remsen, and then the real unknown with the speed, Premier Star. You know, we had the Kathleen O'Connell horse, well-defined, go wire-to-wire in this race last year, and sometimes that main track here at Tampa does carry speed a long way. So, I as Mike Trombetta told me, you know, he's not going to give Jose Ortiz instructions. It pretty much speaks for itself. Get away from there cleanly, get a position, and see what he can do. So, at even money, I think you and I, as much as we like Mike, and he's a pretty realistic handicapper, and he knows that this is a pretty fair test for Independence Hall in that, although he has run quite impressively in his three races, we don't really know who he beat, and it looks like he's got some pretty fair competition he's going to be lining up against here tomorrow at Tampa.
Well, the Patrick Biancone scenario with Sol Volante, and then of course the performance last week, because he had considered Sol Volante for the Holy Bull before he shifted gears, right, and went with Ete in the end.
I'm guessing you pronounce it Soleil Volante, but I don't know. In any event, Dean Reeves has bought into this horse since last he raced on the contingency that Patrick Biancone got to continue to train the horse. But I know they're pretty excited about it.
Well, Soleil Volante, and coming out of the Mucho Macho Man, where, you know, made steady progress. He is, you know, a little bit more of an off the pace type, but it's amazing how Patrick has come up with a series of horses. Marty, you think about Diamond Oops and his interchangeability on the main track and on turf, and you know, here's 2 3-year-olds that are doing the same kind of work.
Yeah, he's kind of resurgent, I guess would be the right word for that.
Well, no one can question whether Patrick Biancone can train a horse. Ajawi down on the inside, and we've also got Jerry Bennett in here, who's having a tremendous meet, it should be noted, right? I mean, Bennett has just been right from the bell.
As usual. He's so prominent here. I mean, I ran into him about 17 times the other day at between the backside and the front side. So yeah, he's Mr. all the way around.
Well, let's move backwards. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay and Mark Cassie and Mrs. Weber with March to the Arch down inside. Probably start the conversation there. Tommy Proctor and the Glen Hill homebred, the City Zip gelding, now 6 years old, making the seasonal debut. Caribou Club surprisingly making his first start at Tampa.
Well, that's your man.
That's
man,
my Proctor. Man.
And his horse is, I don't know if he's ever been better. He has run some big numbers in the past, but he's really kind of leveled off in terms of his form. I think that the, it's about about 3 months since he last ran, and the Schiller barely got beat by Curlin's Honor. Jose Ortiz is here on business tomorrow. He's got a live one there with him, too. So March of the Arch, I don't want to call him lucky, but he has won a couple of real well-timed photos, both in the Wise Dan and then last month at Gulfstream and the Sunshine Millions Turf. He's a hard knocker. These stakes, like you said, Steve, they really came up good. I am forever indebted to Renaissance Frolic. He won by half an inch on September 21st at Churchill, and it was a key to me hitting a real nice pick five that day. So he never owes me anything again. So he could jump up and run good first time out for Safi Davis, Safi Joseph. And then you got Holiday. I assume he's named for the Baseball Hall of Famer. He's really come along. He's three into his four-year-old year now. And a lot of different options in here. Maker with Hembry. He really came around last summer, and he's been off for 7 months. But that's no big deal because we saw Maker come back with that winner last Saturday. I'm trying to think of his name. It was going long on the grass for three-year-olds. But anyway, Mike is always live with a horse like this.
Well, and the parade, the parade of stake type horses, and you're thinking about Field Pass, that won the Dania Beach. So yeah, this is tricky. Who'd you pick in here?
I picked your man. I defaulted to Proctor. I really think this horse is in form. I mean, he's not going to pay much. He might be a $6 horse, but just looks like he's got him where he wants it.
Well, and we didn't mention a couple of interesting players, including a Real Story for Nacho Correas with Castanon as well. This is a good group. Devamani that Chad Brown takes over, and there's a horse that is now 6 years old. This is an unusual circumstance that finds him in Chad's barn.
Yeah, Rob Atch just claimed him from Clement for $62,000 last summer at Saratoga, and he ran okay. You know, it seemed like he was doing good, and lo and behold, maybe it's a wintertime thing, because I don't think Rob has horses down here during the winter, and Chad does, obviously. So maybe that's why the owners went with Chad.
I'm gonna have to peek into that as to how that came about. Let's keep moving backwards. The Suncoast, and these are the three-year-old fillies, and I really hadn't thought much about this, you know, coming into draw day, but then when I printed out the PPs, I said, "Holy cow! This is a really interesting group, and it's well matched." A lot of these are fillies that are going to be new to people.
Well, it's kind of an anomaly, Steve, in that it's not graded, and yet it's a Kentucky Oaks points race. I made a mistake a few years ago when Dale won it with some horse, and I neglected to mention the Oaks points on the assumption that because it was ungraded, it wouldn't be on the Oaks Trail, but lo and behold, there it is, 10-4-2-1 to the first four finishers here, and it's it drew a great field, I thought, for the level. I'm going with Turtle Tracks, assuming that she didn't really care for the flop and the Goldenrod. She showed a real nice turn of foot and a couple of sprint wins at Keeneland and Churchill. She's 12-1 on the line. I don't think she'll be quite that, maybe 8 or 10, but this looks like a way wide-open race that calls for a chance play like that.
Yeah, Blame Debbie, I thought, was a little interesting. Second start under Graham Motion's care. You got Asmussen taking over on Comical for Doug O'Neill. So you got a couple of barn changes. And I hadn't looked at the morning line. Motu is the Second choice. 7-2. Yeah, okay.
7-2. You've got Comical is only 3-1, I would assume, because she ran second in grade one. I don't know, you know, what kind of effort that was because she got clobbered in the Breeders' Cup. But I know that McPeak is really high. I talked to him for quite a while yesterday about, a number of sources, but especially about Mo 2, who was a big second to Finite, who came back, of course, and won again at Fairgrounds and is one of the leading Oaks candidates right now. So, understandably, Kenny is really high on Mo 2, the way she's been training. And that place he bought is the old Padua stable, as you know, the Padua farm, just south of Ocala. And he really likes the way that this filly's been training there.
Well, in addition, I want to mention Gary Barber's 260 with Cassie. This is an uncaptured that fetched $260,000 and has built a pretty darn nice record and has banked $400,000. And a lot of that, you know, came in the My Dear Girl, the rich Florida sire series. And it won't take much if 260 steps forward, you know, just one more time on this two-turn, not a two-turn debut, but a return to two turns. She's very playable in here, and she's 6-1.
Well, there's going to be a lot of speed in there, though, I think, with Lucretia.
A lot of stretch outs.
Yeah, like 260, won one of the local preps here going short. And she's going to be pretty sharp from the rail, I think, that Centeno will probably have to send her. So that'll probably hook up 260. And if you subscribe to the theory that when there's a cavalry charge in a race that it probably wasn't that good of a race, note that the top five finishers in the Gasparilla won by 260. It was a length from first to fifth. So it was just a gangland finish there. And I don't know about her. I think one of the latecomers like the Wilkes filly that I picked, Turtle Tracks, or Mo 2 is really going to be motoring at the end.
I can't argue too much, but this ended up being surprisingly a better race than, you know, not knowing a lot of the players at a glance when I looked at the overnight, and then when I sat down with it, I was like, wow, this is really a nice, well-matched field. Well, that gets us to another Cassie Garber runner for the Endeavor. It is the seasonal debut for Got Stormy, who had a championship-worthy season last year. I voted for her, and comes out of the Matriarch, of course. Got maybe a little bit of a freshening, not too much time off, and she's the centerpiece of the Endeavor.
Well, she's probably your bingo free space to start off. There's not a pick four on these races, 8 to 11, but there is a pick five, races 8 to 12, and just for bonus coverage here, I like Derek Ryan in the last with Tearless, a 6-1 shot, number five in the last. That's just for your edification, for your pick fives. But anyway,
sure.
This filly Got Stormy. They got her 4-5 on the line. The guy here, by the way, John Rose, pretty good line maker. And she'll probably be a little bit lower than that just because she is who she is. And I tried to talk to Mark yesterday. I texted him, which he texted me right back. He said, I'm in bed with the flu and I'm too sick to talk. So I didn't really get to talk to him about her. But, I mean, look at her buyer speed figures, 101 to a 109, all six of her last races. It looks like she barely got any time off, and she's been right back at it. So, I think she's the winner.
Well, and Dina Del Sur, the obvious, second the choice type. Chad Brown sends Altea, now a 5-year-old, coming out of the effort in the My Charmer. She comes across state, but all eyes on Got Stormy. And we should mention, too, Marty, for those that haven't looked beyond the stakes action, the rest of the card is very, very good. And it features one important, when we talk later to Mike Welch, there's some participants from that race at Gulfstream going back to December that Carpe Omnius won for Todd Pletcher. And there's that big seventh race that we'll talk about with Mike. Texas Swing comes out of that race in the fourth race at Tampa for Pletcher. There is another Pletcher player, GeoCare, in that fourth. You've also got Rudy Brissett sending the Windstar China Horse Club, etc.,
$750,000 spites down out of 50 Shades of Hay. This is extraordinary. It's always hard for me, Marty, to accept a $750,000 purchase being introduced in a maiden special for $27,000.
Yeah, well, you walk around this place and you hear a lot of complaints about the purse and the purses, and I think that's pretty deserved, but that's neither here nor there. If you look at, like, this seventh race tomorrow, it's like a Keeneland or Saratoga maiden race. I mean, that's the kind of connections and pedigrees and works and everything else that you've got into this. And I think only once in a while, Steve, they'll run at either 6.5 or 7 furlongs, 14 here. So that's just kind of indicative of a big Saturday here that they like to do something special for, like that. As a matter of fact, now that I look at it, the purse on race 7 is $27,000. What they've been running for here is $20,500. So I guess this is the Tampa version of supercharging, as they say, the purses for a big day like this.
Well, you mentioned that seventh race, and just to give you a couple of notable players in there, first-time starter for Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola, that's the 6. Silver Maker, the $800,000 Keeneland Yearling by Empire Maker out of Silver Colors, who pedigree types will recall as the dam of Eskimo Kisses, as well as Silver Ride. There's also there was another one in there.
Semper Fi for Todd and Johnny V, a Windstar purchase for $240 by Carpe Diem. So, you can just go on and on about these horses.
Yeah, Saratogian for SF Starlight and Sal Cumin with Rudy Brissett. Saratogian, another Empire Maker, $300,000, and Tyler Gaffalione for Brissett. So that's the 7th. There's also a maiden group going to the same 6.5 for fillies. This is the 5th race, and you've got Wanderlust debuting for Nacho Correas, a Union Rags filly. And here's Dean and Patty Reeves as well on the ownership line. This is a half to I'm a Looker, who people might remember, the Henny Hughes stake horse, and a personal favorite, Egg Drop, has a sibling in here for Ian Wilkes, Recoded, making the seasonal debut after really kind of meandering around at Churchill and Keeneland as a 2-year-old. So there is all kinds of action to look forward to. It's a terrific card at Tampa, and I imagine, Marty, that the NHC players are going to take full advantage of what's going on at Tampa tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm participating in that pick and pray thing, and the two designated Tampa races are the 9th and the 10th, which are the Suncoast and the Tampa Bay. So, you know, those are two of the more competitive stakes. So it's going to be a great day here tomorrow, really. Weather's going to be high 60s, sunshine. We had a lot of rain here overnight. It really poured, so I assume they're going to be off the turf today, Friday, but they'll be back on it, obviously, for the stakes tomorrow, but hopefully for the whole day tomorrow.
Marty McGee, everybody. DRF McGee. Marty, thanks so much. Enjoy the day there and today as well, and get over to Christino's.
Talk to you the next time, Vic.
Marty McGee, everybody. Christino's, of course, in Clearwater Beach, a fabulous brick oven pizza joint. We took Marty and Mike and Marie Trombetta last year, and in fact, Marie reached out to me the other day because their children are down this weekend, and she wanted to go back there, and she couldn't remember the name. Christino's. We're going to take a break here. We got an hour in and lots yet to do, including a visit coming from Nick Tamaro. We'll check in with NTAM, who's going to be badly missed. He's already missed that he's not here with us, but he will be with us in spirit, and he certainly is rooting for any number of his pals to do well. And speaking of pals, I just saw my man Sheldon, Big Shell, Sheldon Ulsprich, coming down from Canada. Good to see. I don't think he qualified last year, so it's good to see Shelly here. And we're going to cycle everybody, as many through as possible. And everybody's got smiles. They like this new venue. It's the old venue, but it's a new venue. Back after this with Nick.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Gastrointestinal. Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.